Would you turn with me to John chapter 9? Verse 4. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. I've entitled this message, God Works in the Night. The night cometh when no man can work. Now, this statement by our Lord has a finality to it. The night cometh, and nothing can stop it. And the Lord is speaking primarily of the night he was getting ready to experience when he says, the night cometh. Look over in John chapter 13. This is when Judas went out to betray our Lord. We read in verse 30, he then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Now that means a whole lot more than it was the sun had gone down. It was night. Night means darkness. We just read that from Genesis chapter 1. And the darkness he called night. Night is darkness when you cannot see. The Lord tells us that when the night comes, no man has the ability to work. The night cometh when no man can work. Now, while it's true that no man can work in the night, it's also true that there is one who can and does work at night. God does his greatest work in the night, when no man can work. Now, we can trace this throughout the scriptures. When God created the universe, it was a command for the light to shine out of darkness. Remember that passage of scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 6, where Paul says, for God who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And no man can work in the darkness, but God can and does. And you know, I find this to be glorious. I love that hymn we sing, holy, 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 though the darkness hide thee. Though the eye of sinful man thy glory may not see, only thou art holy. There is none beside thee, perfect in power, in love and purity. You see, you and I can't see in the dark, but he can. Listen to this. Psalm 139 verse 12 says, yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. God does his greatest works in the night. God does his greatest work at night when no man can work. Now, what the Lord Jesus is primarily referring to is the night he was getting ready to enter when he says the night cometh. He's not talking about sundown. He's talking about the night he was preparing to enter. Would you turn with me to Luke chapter 22? Luke chapter 22. Verse 32. I'm sorry, verse 52. Luke 22, 52. Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and the captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, as all the religious fellows that came after him. He wasn't talking about the rabble-risers. He was talking about the religious fellows. They came after him. And he says, be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves. When I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. Our Lord was getting ready to enter into darkness himself. Now, what darkness are you talking about? Well, look there in Luke 22. Look at verse 41. It says, when he was in Gethsemane's garden, verse 41, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and he kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Now, when we read of what took place in Gethsemane's garden, this is when our Lord entered into the night, into darkness, where darkness actually entered into his soul to where he couldn't see. Now, somebody says, how could that be true concerning the God-man? I don't know. I don't know how to explain that. But this is talking about the darkness of his soul. Now, when he walked upon this earth, what light he brings. His life was the life of light. And, you know, I was thinking about this right before preaching on this. I was thinking about what's the light of his life? Well, first of all, he kept the law. You know, when I look at God's holy law, I think it's interesting. When God came down on the mount, out onto Mount Sinai, what happened? It was dark, thunderings, thick blackness and darkness, the voice of words, big sounds, but no, everybody was scared to death. They couldn't see. They couldn't approach. And you know, even regarding God's holy law, when I talk about God's holy law, I've got so much darkness about it until I see Him keeping it. Now, when our Lord walked upon this earth, God, the Son of God, became flesh. God became man. God, the God-man, He kept God's holy law. And I get some light as to the law when I see Him keeping it. I don't have any light anywhere else, but when I see Him keeping it. He loved God with all of his heart. He loved his neighbors himself. He's the only one to ever do this. He never committed idolatry. He put no God before his Father. He's the only man to ever keep the Sabbath. And oh, how he honored his father and his mother and his heavenly Father. He never committed sexual sin, not even in his mind or heart. He's the only man to never sin. He never lied. He never killed. He never had anger without a cause. He never coveted. He never stole. What light we have regarding God's law when we see Him keeping it. I just get confused in any other way. But when I see Him keeping, I get some light. And what He did as a representative man. You see, He didn't have to be under that law. He's the lawgiver. But He willingly placed Himself under that law to keep the law as a representative for somebody. That's what He was doing on while He walked upon this earth. And that's light, isn't it? I see God's law being kept. I look at myself and I find nothing but darkness. But when I see Him keeping the law, I get some light regarding God's holy law. And now He enters into Gethsemane. And the Scripture says He was in agony. The darkness has begun to enter into his soul. Now, what's that all about? Well, he kept the law for somebody. He obeyed God's law perfectly and honored God's holy law but he came as the sinner's substitute, and this is when sin was placed upon him. As the sinner's substitute, darkness entered into his soul, and what happened when the Lord was on the cross? Sun quit shining, didn't it? Scripture says there was darkness over all the earth. The sun actually quit shining. The sun protested as it saw its maker nailed to a tree. But more than that, that lets us know that really what I'm talking about, we're all in the dark about. We're just in the dark. I don't understand what was going on the cross. I have some slight understanding. I know that he was made sin. I know the sins of the elect became his, and darkness entered into his soul. He became the sin bearer. He was made sin. The sins and iniquities of us all were laid upon him, all of his people. They were placed upon him, and darkness entered into his soul in the sense that he felt the guilt of it. He felt the shame of it. He felt forsaken by his Father because he was forsaken by his Father. He had no light. He who is light had no light. He said, the darkness cometh, and indeed the darkness came upon him. Can we understand this? No. No, we can't. What he was doing was between him and his Father. You and I were shut out. This great transaction that was taking place, he was doing business with his Father. And all we can believe. Do you believe that darkness came into his soul? You know, the greatest light we have is seeing his darkness. That's what he's talking about when he's talking about the night cometh, the darkness cometh. When did God pass through the land of Egypt? Anybody remember? What's the scripture say? At midnight. At the darkest time. You see, God does his great work at night, in the dark. And our Lord passed through Egypt at midnight. And nobody could see him passing through. The ones who were in the, you know, they couldn't see the blood. They were in the house, weren't they? But God saw the blood. You see, God can see at night. And he's the one who saw the blood. But his great work of salvation, his work of condemnation, this was the condemnation of the Egyptians. This was the salvation of the Israelites. It was done at night when no one could see, but God could see. Now, at midnight, the Egyptians were condemned. They rejected the only remedy, the blood. They rejected it, and they were condemned. But at this time of midnight, all of God's people were saved. They were in the house with the blood over the door. The greatest light we have is seeing the Lord's darkness. Truly, indeed, no man can work at night, but God does his great work at night. Now, there is his great work in the soul of the sinner he saves. Now, we see where he did his great work at night when no man could work. And that has to do with the cross, how he became in total darkness, bearing the sins of his people, suffering all the punishments of hell, suffering all the horror of hell, suffering all the darkness of hell. You know, hell itself is called what? Eternal darkness. The blackness of mist forever is what it's called. And you can't see in the dark. Our Lord was actually brought into a place where he could not see. What light I have here, though, that perfect law-keeping that he did, it's counted to me. Just as truly as he became sin for me, his righteousness becomes mine, truly mine. That's my light before God. But let's keep on talking about how God does his work at night. We see his work of salvation was at night. Well, when the Lord does a work of grace in the heart of a sinner, he saves, before they come to know the Lord, they feel like they're in the daylight. They see, so they think. They see how they can be saved. I can be saved whenever I get ready.
Whenever I decide to believe, I can be saved. Whenever I decide to repent, I can be saved. Now, I might not have done it yet, but I probably will one of these days, and it's within my power. I can do something to change things. I see how I can be saved. I see what I need to do. Maybe I haven't done it, but I see what I need to do. I've got some sight. Before God saves somebody, they think they have some light. But when God turns the lights on, they're brought into darkness. They're brought to where they cannot see a thing. When was it that the Apostle Paul saw? When he was blinded. He saw fine until he was blinded by the light. What blinded him? Light did. And when he saw the light, he was blinded. When he finally had some life, all of a sudden he was brought into darkness where he could not see. Now, when God turns the lights on in somebody's heart, they're made to see that salvation by works is impossible for them. The night comes when no man can work. They're in darkness. They can't see one reason as to why God would save them. They see themselves as altogether filthy. They can't see why God would ever look in mercy on them. Have you ever been brought into that place? That place of darkness where you can't see why God would ever save you. You don't complain about salvation, for instance, before you have any light, but before you're brought into darkness, maybe you complain with election. How could it be fair for God to choose to save some and pass by the others? That doesn't seem fair to me. He's violating our rights. Everybody has a right to be saved. Everybody has a right to God's love. He's showing favoritism. He shouldn't be doing this. How can God be fair? He ought to be saving me. How could it be fair that he loves Jacob and hates Esau? It seems like he's not giving Esau his due. I mean, everybody ought to have God's love. I mean, doesn't God love everybody? That doesn't seem fair. That seems wrong. And to say that Christ died only for the elect? To say that he didn't die for everybody? Well, that's certainly not fair. Did he do something for one and not do it for the other? Well, that doesn't seem fair at all. And you say that he's the first cause behind everything and in control of everything, and that means if I sin that he allowed it, well, how could he hold me responsible for it if it was all part of his plan and he's the first cause behind everything? How's all that fair? You see, when you think you have light, you object to God's salvation. You object to God's way of saving. You object to his word. But when God brings you into darkness, and this is the blessing of his grace, you can't see why he would ever look in favor toward you. You really believe that. You really believe that he cast you off eternally into devil's hell. You'd be getting exactly what you deserve. You believe that? You really believe you deserve to go to hell? I know we'll all initially say yes, but I mean, do you really believe it? Do you really believe if God dropped you into hell and showed you no mercy, he would be just and holy and glorious in doing it? Now, that's what it means to be in the dark. You can't see a reason as to why God would look in mercy on you. You see, it's only when the soul is brought into that state of darkness that they're now a candidate for mercy. That person who has no light, that person who can't see one reason why God would save them, now there's a person who needs mercy. And that person is a candidate for mercy. When we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Now that person's ready to hear the gospel. Now you never see until you're blinded. God works in the night. Now, faith itself only works at night. Faith is believing what you cannot see. If you can see, faith is not necessary. Is it? What do you need to believe? If you can see, you don't need faith. Now, here's what faith is. Faith is actually relying on him whom I've never seen. Faith is believing the word of Him that I've never heard His voice audibly. Faith is trusting somebody I've never seen. Faith is believing I am what I cannot see. I cannot see that I'm holy. I really can't. Now, I am holy. If I'm a believer, I am. But I can't see that I'm holy. But I believe I am because His Word tells me I am. I can't see that I'm justified before God. I can't see that. What does justification mean? Justification means not guilty. It's not just as if I never sinned. If I'm justified, I never sinned. I'm not guilty. Now, I can't see that in my experience because in my experience, all I do is sin. That's what I see in myself. But faith sees into the dark. I really believe that what Christ did on the cross is enough to make me without sin. That's what faith sees into Christ's darkness. I see His darkness is my light. I see His righteousness makes me just before God. Faith is believing what you cannot see. You see, faith only works in the dark. It doesn't work in the light. It only works in the dark. God does His work in the dark at night. And I can say this to the believer. The night comes when no man can work. Even to a believer, you're going to be brought to the place, even as a believer, where you can't see a thing. Now hear me. You're in darkness. You have no visible evidence that you even know God. You feel as though you're in Egyptian darkness, even darkness that might be felt. Would you turn with me to Isaiah chapter 50? Isaiah chapter 50, verse 10. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of His servant? You really believe the gospel. You fear the Lord and you believe the gospel. But look what it says next. That walketh in darkness and hath no light. Now that's a pretty rough place to be, isn't it? To walk in darkness, it says you've got no light. As far as your experience goes, you've got no light. Well, what is that person directed to do? Let him trust in the name of the Lord. And stay upon His God. Even when you can't see, even when you're in darkness, trust the name of the Lord. Really believe the name of the Lord Jesus is enough to bring you into glory with no help from you. Behold, He says in verse 11, all ye that kindle a fire, you make a light, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire. You know, a lot of folks do that. They build them up a fire they can see by. Their works and so on. He says, go ahead and walk in the light of your fire and the sparks that you have kindled. This shall you have of mine hand. You shall lie down in sorrow. If you're a believer, you're in light. But I have no doubt that in your experience, you're going to find times when you're in nothing but darkness and can't see a thing. And you have no evidence that God's even done anything for you. You feel alone and forsaken. Now, what is that person walking in darkness called upon to do? Trust in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what's His name? The Lord our righteousness. Trust in His name at all times. God does His work. His work of preserving His people in faith at night. God works in the night and only in darkness. Listen to this. Only when you're in complete darkness, that he's speaking of here, can you really trust the Lord. When you have nowhere else to lean, nowhere else to trust, nowhere else to turn. When you're in the night like this, this is when you trust the name of the Lord. I love that hymn we sing, "When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest in his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand." Now how will our glorious Lord return? Remember, we're talking about his great works are done at night. He created the universe from darkness. His great work of salvation he did at night. This thing of faith, believing God, is believing what you cannot see. You're trusting him whom you can't see. You're in the dark in that sense. You even have a darkness brought into your soul that makes you lean totally on Christ. Now that's his work of faith. How's he going to return? That's the next thing I think of his great work. How's he going to return? I love this scripture. It says he'll return as a thief in the night. When he returns, the black backdrop of a midnight sky is going to be as lightning in the sky, and everybody's going to see him at that time. And at that time, we're going to see what we believe to be true. When he returns, I'm going to see him as he is. I'm going to rejoice in him as he is. I'm going to trust him as he is. To think of seeing him as he is. You know what's going to happen in me seeing him as he is? What the scripture says? I'm going to be like him. Now, I believe I'm like him right now. I can't see it. But because of union with his person, I believe I'm like him right now. I believe when God looks upon me, he sees somebody as without sin, perfect, just like the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that. I'm going to see it then. When he returns, we'll see him in all of his glory, and we'll finally see ourselves as we believe ourselves to be, justified, sanctified, and glorified. Faith will be turned into sight, and there will be no more night. Now at that time, when he returns in the night, in the midnight sky, eternal darkness will begin for those who have no faith. Now this is a solemn, solemn thing to think about. I don't know much about hell. I mean, I read the descriptions of it in the scripture. I know that God is holy and there is a hell. There is a place where he's going to punish those who do not believe on his Son. You know who talked about hell more than anybody else? The Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know in all the writings of the Apostle Paul, not one time does he use the word hell? I believe he thought it to be so terrible that he just trembled at using the word. Our Lord Jesus Christ talked about hell more than anybody else. Now there is a place called hell. And you know how the scripture describes it? Eternal darkness. And what I thought about was just, can you imagine being in a dark place for a year and never seeing any light? A dark place for 50 years and never seeing any light? A dark place for eternity and having no light. That hell will begin when our Lord comes back. Hell, an eternity of hell begins for all those who do not believe the gospel. That's when hell begins. But you know what? An eternal light begins for God's people. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 21. Verse 25. Let's begin reading in verse 22.
John says, "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be," what? "No night there." Look in chapter 22. Verse 3, "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And His servants shall serve Him, and they shall see His face. And His name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there." You see, faith will be turned to sight. "And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." Now, God works at night. I think that's clear from the Scripture, and I think it's altogether glorious that He does so. God works at night. And it takes faith to believe what He does, and that's His gift. But listen to this Scripture. This is the Scripture I want to leave you with thinking about. "Weeping," David said in Psalm 38, "weeping may endure for a night." And it will. And it does. "But joy cometh in the morning." That's the promise to every child of God. God does His great work at night. "I can't see, but I believe." Well, may God give us His light. I'm sitting here trying to talk about things that I... Let's put it this way. The only way anybody's going to understand anything I said is if God gives them light. And if He does, we'll see. Let's pray together.